Let's talk a little bit about how today we are in the last sermon of this sermon series on prayer. And in a sense, what we're doing today is we're coming full circle. Okay? When we pray the last part of the Lord's Prayer, which is "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," it brings us full circle. Because if you remember, we start the Lord's Prayer with praise and thanksgiving, don't we? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy be your name." And now we come full circle by recentering ourselves on the glory, on the majesty, and the sovereignty of God. So when we pray that, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," what we're actually doing is we're praying what's known as a doxology. A doxology. What is a doxology? Because if you've noticed, you've been at our church for a while, we sing a doxology every week, don't we? Right before we pray for the offering. And basically, a doxology is an expression or a prayer or a hymn of praise to God. And it comes from the Greek word doxa, which means glory, splendor, or grandeur. And that's where we get doxology from. And actually, you know, if you're familiar with your Bible, there are numerous doxologies throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. And a great example is found at the end of Jude's epistle. Jude's epistle is right towards the back of the Bible. It's one of the last letters in the Bible. And he writes this in verse 24 to 25. He says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." How awesome a prayer is that? Right? I mean, that's, you know, if you had a school teacher assigning you to write a doxology, not that that's likely to happen these days in the public schools, but if they did, that would be an A+ doxology. That's how to write a doxology right there. Jude is your man there. But if you notice, if you read a modern translation of the Bible, such as the, you know, the one we use here, right? If you notice, that last part, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," is not actually found in our Bibles. You ever notice that? If you've got a King James Bible, you'll find it there. But if you're reading from, we use the NIV, the New International Version, which is an excellent translation. A lot of the modern translations, they don't have this doxology in there. Why is that? Well, that's because currently the earliest manuscripts we have of the Gospels don't have this doxology in them. So scholars tend to think that this was perhaps added on by the early church because this was very typical to do, to add on to the ends of prayers. But what we have to remember is if, and it is an if because scholars are just kind of guessing right now, if it was added to the Lord's Prayer, it was done very, very early in the church's history. And the reason we know that is because one of the oldest Christian documents outside of the New Testament is a document called the Didache. The Didache. And this dates back all the way back to the first century, probably right around the same time that the apostles were still alive. And it has a version of the Lord's Prayer that has this doxology in it. So this wasn't something that, you know, if the apostles would have called this out if this was not right to do. Okay, it was there from very early. We're not talking about some addition in the 1700s or something. And so N.T. Wright, who is a world-renowned New Testament scholar and also an expert on first century Judaism, he said the following, quote, "It is actually inconceivable within the Jewish praying styles of his day that Jesus would have intended the prayer to stop simply with 'deliver us from evil.' Something like this must have been intended from the beginning." So it's very, very likely that Jesus would pray some kind of doxology at the end of his prayers. And so while we might not have it in some of our modern translations, we pray it because, one, Jesus probably did. And then secondly, we pray it because it's biblical. It's biblical. As I mentioned, there are numerous doxologies in the Bible. And that actually, that brings us to the scripture that we just read today that Nancy shared with us from 1 Chronicles. It's an incredible prayer that David prayed. And I want to just read it to us again. Let it sink in. This is, you know, sometimes if you don't know how to start your prayer time off, read a doxology from the Bible. It'll really bring you to focus and centering on God. But listen to it. David writes this: "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." Sound familiar? "For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." You know, if you just prayed that every morning to get going, that would be a good start with your prayer life. It's an incredible prayer, and you're in good company with David. But did you notice there? That sounds very familiar to us, doesn't it? If we're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, David talks about God's kingdom. He talks about his power and his glory, just like what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And so, like I said, we come full circle. And here's the thing, it's a reminder that the best way to begin prayer is with giving praise and glory to God, and the best way to end your prayer is by giving praise and glory to God. We begin our prayers by focusing on God, and we end our prayers by focusing on God. It's kind of like a God sandwich. Yeah? You know, we're just talking about, it's a God sandwich. God is the bread on either side, and our needs and our petitions, they're kind of like the gooey, sticky, messy peanut butter and jelly in between. Right? Think of prayer as a God sandwich. You start with God, and you end with God. But what does that mean? Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's a fitting end to the prayer, isn't it? Because it conclusively declares and reminds us who is king and who is on the throne. It reminds us what the true kingdom is, what true power looks like, what true glory is. And you know what? Here's the thing. How we define those terms in earthly terms, how we think of kingdom and power and glory, is very different from how God defines them. Have you noticed that? Yeah, we have an idea of what we think is grand and powerful and all that. Our kingdoms and power and glory, they look like granite and marble and pillars. It looks like tanks and battleships, award ceremonies, multi-billion dollar bank accounts. That's what our power and glory looks like, isn't it? That's what we attach power and glory and prestige to. But do you know the great thing is the Lord? The Bible tells us the Lord actually, he laughs at that kind of power, that kind of glory. He scoffs at it. Yeah? Listen to what Psalm 2 says, verses 1 through 4. I love this part of the psalm. It says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The king of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles.' The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." The Lord's saying, I know you got all these plans and schemes and plots. It doesn't mean anything. He's saying that these conspiracies and the plots of this world, the plans that are against God and his anointed one. Who's his anointed one? Jesus. And so by default, that means us too, as his followers. And he's saying, ultimately, it's all going to come to nothing. Because he is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And you know what? That should be very, very reassuring to us in the times we're living. You know how sometimes it just feels like, wow, we're getting so secular. People, less and less people are believing in God. More and more people are kind of anti-Jesus and, you know, making fun of Christians. And it can be very disheartening, can't it? It can be very disheartening. But we have to remember who's in control and who's laughing at the schemes of the world. Our Lord and Savior. He's still on the throne. And that should bring us reassurance that we are ultimately on the winning side. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Remember that when Pilate is interrogating him, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." It doesn't look like Pilate's kingdom, which was the Roman Empire with its military and economic might. Jesus is saying, that's not what my kingdom's about. Now, you know what God's kingdom looks like? It looks like the sick being healed, The blind receiving their sight. People falling to their knees in repentance. People humbling themselves rather than being full of pride. It looks like people in bondage and addiction and shame and guilt being set free. That's what the kingdom of God looks like, folks. And we get a taste of it every day. What about the power of God? The power of God, what does that look like? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So the gospel is the power of God. What does the gospel look like? The cross. Shame, humiliation, surrender, death. That looks like power? Yes. Yes. Because the cross was only part one of God's victory over sin and death. What was part two? The resurrection. Jesus coming back from the dead to conquer sin and death. That's the power of God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. And what of glory? What does the glory of God look like? Listen to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does the glory of God look like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like His one and only Son. Jesus, who is full of what? Full of grace and truth. And here's the funny thing. You know, many of us, we love to be right, don't we? It feels good when you're right about something, right? We love to have truth on our side, right? And we love to win arguments. Put somebody in their place. No, you're wrong about this, and here are the facts. I can prove it to you. You ever feel like that? It feels good, doesn't it, right? Putting somebody in their place. Yeah? Very satisfying. But as Ravi Zacharias said, we're trying to win people, not arguments. You ever thought about that? We're trying to win people, not arguments. Because here's the thing, if you win an argument, right, and you put that person in their place, but you haven't won them over, then you haven't achieved anything. In fact, all you've achieved is puffing up your own ego. Aren't I smart? Aren't I clever? This is the whole problem with social media. When you get into arguments with people on social media, it's a waste of time. I used to do it years ago, and I just, at some point, I was like, you're not going to change anybody's mind, a complete stranger, over an interchange on social media. It's pointless, it's time-wasting, and it achieves nothing. Because you're not winning the person, even if you're winning the argument. Rick Warren, well-known pastor and preacher, he said, right plus rude equals wrong. Right plus rude equals wrong. Doesn't matter how right you are. If it is conveyed in the wrong spirit, a spirit of arrogance and pride and wanting to put somebody down, you've achieved nothing. You've achieved nothing. But Jesus, yeah, Jesus is on the side of truth. Jesus is truth, but He's also, what else is He? He is grace. The Bible tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is to God's glory, that through His grace we are saved. So as we pray, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, let's just recap a little bit on what we have learnt from the Lord's Prayer through this sermon series. Let's just do a little quick recap so that we know what we've learned. Well, we've learned, what have we learned? We have learned to begin with praise and adoration. When we pray, that's where you start. Not jumping straight into your needs and your troubles and all that. Focus on Him. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We've learned how to intercede for others. When we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's interceding, intercession? It's praying for others. I spend a lot of time in intercession praying for you, praying for Bill Ricker, praying for the needs of the world. We've learned how to pray petition, to ask God for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to come before him with every need of your heart. And like a wise parent, he will give you what you need and not give you what you don't need. We've learned about confession and forgiveness, how it's so important for us to confess to God where we have fallen short, and for us to forgive others, to not hold on to forgive unforgiveness. It is a bitter root. When we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then last week, we were learning about how prayer can be warfare, right? Prayer can be warfare, spiritual warfare, as we prayed, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then finally, today we bring it full circle. We bring it back to him. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. And let us not forget, what do we pray at the end of that? Forever. Forever. Not for a while, not for this age. Forever. So, it's been 8 weeks of prayer, focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And many of you have been engaged doing the prayer course as well that has been going on. This week is the last week of our prayer course. And my hope and my prayer is that you have learned that there are so many more ways to pray than we think, right? So many more ways to pray. It's not just, thank you, Lord, can I have this? Amen. There are so many ways to pray to God. And I hope it has broadened your horizons about how you can relate to the Father. It doesn't have to be wooden. It doesn't have to be full of babbling either. But it's permission to talk and connect with our Lord and Savior and to commune with the living God. So, as we finish up today with this series and the prayer course, a couple of things I want you to know. So after this week, next week, we're going to be starting the open house of prayer again, our Wednesday evening prayer meeting. And we're moving the time slightly later. We're moving it now from 6:30 till 7:30 instead of 6 till 7. And my hope is that those of you who couldn't get there because it was too close to getting out of work might be able to come. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw that Wednesday night meeting packed, if it was like this, full of people hungry for the Lord? Prayer is where the power is, folks. And so I want you to encourage you to start thinking about that. Even if you can only come for a last portion of it, that's why it's called Open House of Prayer. You can come and leave as you like. But I want to encourage you, don't let this whole sermon series and this whole prayer course just kind of fall by the wayside once we're out of it. And it hasn't changed a thing about your prayer life. That is not the goal. And then the other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be having a 24-hour day of nonstop prayer. 24 hours nonstop prayer. How's that going to work? I can see some baffled looks right now. It's going to be the first time we've done this at our church. People do this all over the world. It's powerful. What it's going to look like is Friday the 13th, easy date to remember, right? Beginning at 6 p.m. till Saturday the 14th, 6 p.m., 24 hours, we are going to have somebody or a number of people praying every hour of the day. And the way it'll look is we're going to have a sign-up list, okay? So somebody, there'll be hour-long slots. So somebody will take 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Somebody can take 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. There'll be some of you I'll be looking to take the 3 a.m. slot, the 2 a.m. slot. There you go. I know some of you are up all night. And the idea will be that every hour of that 24-hour period, there will be at least somebody praying, interceding, petitioning. And people can pick the same hour. You can have multiple people on the same hour. But the idea is that there will not be an hour of the day that is not covered. And you might be asking, how on earth do you pray for an hour? How do you do that? I'm going to have some information on how to do that. And trust me, an hour can go real quick when you know how to break it up with praise and worship to the Lord. So keep that on your back burner. That's going to be Friday the 13th. There will be a sign-up list coming, one at the back of church and also one that you can sign up online. And we'll have more details about that next week. But I want prayer to transform our church, folks. If we're not praying, we are decaying. We need to pray. Yes, Deborah. No, the following week. That's right, yeah. Because we have one more. This is the last week of the prayer course. So, all right, let us pray. Father, you are so amazing. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power and yours is the glory. And help us, Lord, to not lose track of that, to not forget that everything is in your hands. Even when it looks like the battle is being lost, we know it is not because it has already been won. And so, Lord, help us to walk in faith to declare that you are sovereign, that you are king, that you are on the throne. And not only that, Lord, but that you are the king of our lives. Help us to surrender to you, Lord. Help us to grow in our prayer life, that we would pray night and day, Lord, that we would see your power and glory come upon this church, upon this town, upon us as a people. And so we lift all this up to you and we pray it through the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.